and Lango, this is Connecticut Taco. What you're about to hear is a Human Rights Radio exclusive presentation that was first aired Monday, October 29, 2001, at 11:25 p.m., entitled The Human Rights Patrol, Part 13, Before Deadly Force, Part 1. Your host will be out of the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, war correspondent, commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, runaway slave, Kaka Mbana Kentaco. Have a pleasant flight.
Folks are still held hostage, won't ask questions, ruled by fear. Uncle Sam does know he owes our folk a big time debt. He knows his lights can't help him. True star weapon will collect. We're talking reparations. That's right, we know we are old. Cause for 11 generations in here we were bought in soul. See, this crook called Sam did come up when he made our folks his slaves. His posse did the same in Europe, and yes, they too must pay. The lessons of mine on thyself will help us all move forward. We're taught it will teach us by self to rise to toast the torch. Like those days we were to be beat down, yet unhooked from our souls. Seeking truth will turn that around with the human rights patrol. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth. It's time we know that we have rights. That's right, rights at our birth. That's right, those rights are human rights. They show our purpose on this earth.
The People's Choice, Human Rights Radio. On the World Wide Web in our 4,514th night of broadcasting at 106.5 FM in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois. Zalango, this is www.pirateradioatabout.com. That's right, the flavor is Human Rights Radio, live in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield. The name of the program is the Human Rights Patrol, a program done twice in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield, Illinois, every week, you know, as a means to share information that we do on a regular basis in the Criminal Enterprise called Springfield. To get this edition of the Human Rights Patrol started, let me call in War Correspondent, Commander in the Human Rights Radio Air Force, because one of the most important things we got to do before we get started is shout out to those folks that got the nerve to share the message of human rights across the Criminal Enterprise called the United States and other places. Gennady, Zalango to you.
Zalango.
You got the list? Go ahead.
First, we're going to say Zalango to Human Rights Radio, 94.3 FM with Kaka Inko Uhuru, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM. Human Rights Radio, brung by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM, BVHP, in the Criminal Enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California, with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the Criminal Enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff, glad to have you with us.
And if you want this program, you know, to be aired in your community, where you at, get a hold of www.pirateradioatabout.com. They got a little area there you could probably get some comments on, and they can make this program available, or take it right off the web, right? Take it right off the web and do it yourself, right? All right, tonight in this edition, thank you, Kennedy. We'll talk to you later on in this edition of the Human Rights Patrol, volume number 13. And as you heard in the introduction, we're going to call it Before Deadly Force. You know, this situation up in here, the social order they got in the Criminal Enterprise called the United States, is basically based on, you know, like everybody, like 95% of the folks being used to make, like, the top 1% fat, you know, rich, as we say on the street, fat, okay? And they done that. And they maintain that kind of, like, arrangement through all kind of means, drama means. Today they're using technology big time, and it's kind of like if you watch them, you know, flexing with the folks in Afghanistan on CNN today, you know, they on a dang on a battleship talking about all the guns the ship got and stuff, trying to scare people. You know what I'm saying? They do that. They perfected the art of terrorizing folks from terrorizing Europeans. It's apparent. Europeans like to be terrorized because their government, because they've never said they were our government, their government terrorizes them. We're going to share with you a program we got from the Discovery Criminalization Channel. Again, all this research we're sharing with you in this particular program called the Human Rights Patrol, we have in more detail that we accumulated over years in Human Rights Radio. We got like a 5,000 tape library of information. So if you're one of those stations that's going to download this program to more listeners, or you simply have an interest, get a hold to us and we'll, you know, make more programs available to you. Because that's all we do. We collect and break down information. Our elders say to define and decode the phenomena will help us make it act in a desired manner. You can hear my grandson Kamal in the background, Kanadi's son. He's trying to get his two words in, but he got to wait till the Human Rights Patrol for the 21st and a half century or something, right? All right, well, we're going to use this program for the Discovery Criminalization Channel. Why don't you check this out? Talking about before deadly force, they call the program Lethal Force. Check it out.
Humans, the only creatures on Earth to study and practice the art of war.
Sorry, no. Human beings don't do that. You can go to Africa today, and you got all kind of African people that never heard the word war yet, okay? G.W. Littlebush trying to change that. But, you know, not everybody. It's only those who have designs for empire and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? That's like a last 5, 6, 7,000-year phenomenon, you know what I mean, on the planet. So don't let them tell you that. They're always trying to get everybody in their posse. We do not do that. Human beings do not war.
Scientists have been working on a new range of weapons, ones they believe will revolutionize the nature of law enforcement and of war. These new weapons are designed to defeat the enemy without killing. Supporters believe they may be our salvation, but critics think otherwise. Weapons designed to control but not kill. The concept is by no means new. Tear gas was invented at the end of the 19th century and has been used widely since the First World War. Plastic bullets and water cannons have been used against rioters for most of the 20th century. And humans have wielded batons in one form or another since we could walk upright. But now there's a newfound enthusiasm for these non-lethal weapons. Proponents say, with an expanded arsenal, we can completely transform law enforcement and war. Leading the crusade is an unlikely duo, not from the military or politics, but science fiction.
If you look at all the great military theorists throughout history, everyone, Sun Tzu, Machiavelli, Clausewitz, John Locke, has said the greatest skill is to subdue the enemy without killing. Now technology is enabling us to do that.
Janet Morris and her husband Chris are the authors of some 40 books, among them Rebels in Hell, Kings in Hell, War in Hell, and The Stalk. They have decided to turn fiction into reality by developing new types of weapons that are environmentally friendly, fiscally responsible, and most important, life-conserving.
The point of non-lethal weapons is to use technology to remove the enemy's ability to threaten you without having to kill him to do it.
Now, these are devils. What they be talking about is taking other people's stuff. We don't have to argue about the record of the United States government. If they're investigating how to glue you to a road, that means they're getting ready to do some dirt to you. Okay? Now, what kind of mind sits around thinking of these kind of things? You know what I'm saying? Besides a twisted, dysfunctional mind, okay? No one, man, come on now. Listen to this here, man. This is really stupid.
Science fiction writers, someone might think that that's a little bit strange, but if you look again and take us back to the helicopter, take us back to many of the developments over the last 50 or 100 years, those would have been science fiction to someone not too long ago.
The Morrises don't expect to bring about an end to war, but do hope to make it less costly and more survivable.
I don't think I really understood what I was looking for until in Out Passage, my character said that death was the enemy he'd been fighting all his life. And he was right. And he is right. And I suppose that we're right. If you look at it, death is all of our only enemy.
Now, see, that's a whole different concept. African people don't trip on death being, you know, the one thing you're guaranteed when you're born is you're going to transcend this existence and you're going to move to the next level. Now, why would you call that your enemy when, you know what I'm saying? But that's, you know, hey, I'm not going to argue with them. But again, if these kind of, first of all, no other people but these empire-oriented type folks would ever devise these type of weapons anyway. These are kind of like nuts like the Tofflers in them, you know what I'm saying?
So death became something that we really looked at. And the more we looked at death, the more we thought that in a civilized society, it was inappropriate for a government that claimed to have a moral foundation to dispense death.
throughout history, militaries have tended to advance fairly steadily at a regular rate in terms of technology, doctrine, effectiveness. But there have been several times throughout history that a number of factors came together to cause a rapid, radical change in effectiveness, organization, doctrine in militaries. What people are arguing today is that we may, in fact, be either in the beginning stages or on the verge of one of these historic revolutions in military affairs. For really the first time in history, you could effectively impose your will on other people without having to kill or permanently harm them.
When the Morrises began talking about the widespread use of non-lethal weapons almost a decade ago, few people took them seriously. That was until the Gulf War. The Allied offensive against Iraq led to the death of 200,000 Iraqi soldiers and civilians. Media coverage of the war was unprecedented. All over the world, people watched the events play out. There were instantaneous graphic images for viewers and policymakers alike to absorb. Military strategists call this the CNN factor.
Of course, it's always easier to use violence against someone that you don't know, that you can't attach a face to, that's sort of dehumanized. But through CNN, the enemy is no longer dehumanized. They're people with faces, they're people with names, they're people with homes, they're people with families.
If you kill the other guy, and you're a government, and you're a big, strong government like the United States, and you kill in massive numbers the citizens of a little, tiny country, even if it's a threatening country in the Persian Gulf, you look bad.
What's called the CNN factor, I think, is actually an important part of understanding the interest in non-lethal weapons. And in fact, one of the things that I find most intriguing about non-lethal weapons today is the fact that their intended audience is not the people they might be used against, but outsiders, political constituencies at home.
That was what got the Cheney Defense Department under the Bush administration interested in non-lethals. They then came to us and said, okay, come in and talk to us.
Now look, you got to comprehend. It's not that they say they're going to stop stealing other people's stuff. They're going to use this type of technology to steal people's stuff, but to not look bad stealing people's stuff. That is really good. That is really brilliant. I bet they spent a lot of time on that one.
Apart from advising the Defense Department, the Morrises had been employed by the FBI and are regularly consulted by the police. On their recommendation, the Defense Department is this year for the first time dedicating part of its budget, some $40 million, specifically to developing new non-lethal weapons. The Marine Corps has the lead responsibility for non-lethal warfare. And under the Morrises' guidance, they are trying to develop a new form of combat. Here, at their helicopter base in San Diego, they are practicing how to fight a battle without killing anyone. This exercise, the soldiers learn to disperse an angry mob. Their first weapon is a water cannon containing a pepper solution that stings the eyes and makes breathing difficult. They are also using non-lethal grenades that fire out hundreds of tiny rubber pellets. And they are firing non-lethal bullets made of rubber and plastic. But the highlight of the exercise is when the Marines get out their sticky foam guns. And it's not just the military who are interested in non-lethal weapons. At the Emergency Operations Center in the L.A. County Sheriff's Office, Sid Heal is responsible for coordinating the work of the police and the emergency services in the event of a crisis like the L.A. riots. He finds that the challenge of controlling crowds in L.A. is not so different from that faced by the Marines in Somalia and Bosnia. So Lieutenant Heal is enthusiastic about non-lethal weapons.
We are on the very verge, I think, of some tremendous breakthroughs. Our biggest inhibitors right now is the fear of civil liability, means we'll get sued for trying it, and lack of money. I would say, though, that within 10 years, we will not recognize law enforcement as compared to the last 200.
We've modified this device to be used as a non-lethal weapon for the capture of humans by law enforcement agencies. If we have an intruder, this is what we'll do. We'll net them.
Perfect.
It uses a .308 caliber blank propellant, which forces gas through a four-barreled manifold, pushing the net out of the canister off the four barrels. It uses a padded weight system attached to cords that act as a bolo effect to wrap around the person. Net's made out of nylon. It's reusable. If you, in the event you need to cut the net or the net gets absorbed with blood, it can be washed off, re-sewn up. So it's reusable. We've shot this particular net over 100 times.
For anti-personnel people nets, we have a simple snare net, which is just a simple entanglement net. We can also coat that with a glue, so it becomes what we call sticky net. It just makes escape much more difficult. Then we have sting net, which has a high-voltage pulse circuit built into it, which shocks the person and disables their ability to fight back. We can also incorporate pepper sprays, and then to limit the effects, we can weave in a film with the net so that it all closes up and the pepper spray doesn't really fly around affecting other innocent bystanders.
Apart from its standard people nets, Foster Miller is also developing bags to protect vehicles from chemical weapons, nets for capturing descending paratroopers, helicopters, and planes, landmine nets, and much more. Another non-lethal technology currently in development is the so-called Road Patriot, designed to stop vehicles.
Well, the original idea for the Road Patriot came from a friend of mine on Rutland-Dundee Fire Department. He's also a part-time Elgin police officer. He said, you know, gee, Dave, it would be great if we could push a button on the squad car somewhere and stop a high-speed chase before someone gets killed. One thing led to another. We drank a few more beers, and the germ of an idea was started. Contact is made, and an electromagnetic pulse is introduced into the undercarriage of the vehicle. This electromagnetic pulse attacks the engine computer brain box, causing the engine to stall.
Another way to stop vehicles or people is to glue them to the ground.
Sticky foam has great potential. It looks like foam insulation, comes out of a gun similar to the Ghostbusters gun. I mean, that's what it reminds me of.
Sticky foam was developed shortly after the Gulf War from a polymer-based superadhesive, or superglue, at Sandia National Laboratories. When fired from a pressurized container, it expands to 30 times its original volume.
When we started playing with it, and literally that's what we did, we just started playing with it, trying to find out more effective ways of making it work. We tried to stick their feet to the floor and the pavement and everything else. One of the most effective ways was to stick them in the crotch. It was a target that you could hardly miss. The individual then had the choice of trying to get rid of it, which stuck his hands, trying to walk, which stuck his thighs together, but he became so retarded in his movements that he was ineffective no matter what happened.
You see how perverted they are? They always think of something stupid, man. And you know, all these days they've been screaming about how broke they is. But when they had the posse up on the so-called September 11, 2001 terrorism move, boy, they didn't have no trouble finding no money, did they? All right. We'll pick this up in another installment of the Human Rights Patrol because they got a lot more information in here on the non-lethal weapons. They ain't talking about stopping about being like hoodlums on the earth. You know what I'm saying? They ain't talking about stopping that. What they talking about is they don't want people to think that about them no more. Well, that's the devil right there. If you're doing wrong, stop doing wrong. Don't try to look good doing wrong. I ain't trying to tell Uncle Sam that. There's a waste of time telling Uncle Sam. All right, you've heard this volume 13 of the Human Rights Patrol. We'll call this Before Deadly Force, because you can bet a whole bunch of folks they're going to put that sticky foam on and then kill, right? All right. Shout out to those stations. We're going to call upon Kanadi for that again. Again, Zalingo to you.
Zalingo.
Kanadi, want to shout out to the stations that's carrying this particular program out of the criminal enterprise called Springfield off of www.pirateradioatabout.com.
We want to say Zalingo to Human Rights Radio at 94.3 FM with Kaka Inka Uhuru and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Durham, North Carolina, and the listeners in the Criminal Enterprise called Decatur, Illinois at 99.9 FM, Human Rights Radio, brought by Brother Lavelle. Also to those who listen at 103.3 FM BVHP in the Criminal Enterprise called Bayview, Hunters Point, California with Kaka Michael Hibbett and the crew. And at 96.3 FM in the Criminal Enterprise called Santa Cruz, California, those who listen to Free Radio Santa Cruz with V-Man and their staff. Glad to have you with us.
Now, if you're listening to this program over one of those stations and you'd like to have it yourself, you need to get a hold of www.pirateradioatabout.com. When the search box comes up, the box says Find It Now, type in the name Kentaco and you will have the Human Rights Patrol yourself, plus a lot more stuff up there. www.pirateradioatabout.com. Type in Kentaco when the box comes up, says Find It Now. Thank you again, Kanadi, and we'll be back with the folks again for volume number 14 for the Human Rights Patrol for the Human Rights Radio Air Force here in the criminal enterprise called Springfield in our 4,514th night of broadcasting. Let me remind you that you're listening to the People's Choice, the Human Rights Information Network.
And sufferings of our ancestors.
Glory in sufferings of our ancestors.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
And honor the struggle of our elders.
We will strive to bring new values.
We will strive to bring new values.
And new life to our people.
And new life to our people.
We will have peace and harmony among us.
We'll have peace and harmony among us.
We will be loving.
We'll be loving.
Sharing.
Sharing.
And creative.
And creative.
We will work.
We will work.
Study.
Study.
And listen.
And listen.
So we may learn.
So we may learn.
Learn so we may teach.
Learn so we may teach.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will cultivate self-reliance.
We will struggle to resurrect.
And unify our homeland.
We will raise many children for our nation.
We will have discipline.
Patience.
Devotion.
And courage.
We will live as models.
To provide new direction for our people.
We will be free and
self-determining.
We are African people.
Aluta!
Aluta!
Continua!
Continua!
Kufala!
Kufala!